35 yam sadu gata sadase ripavo pi suran ripam pratimanam prakurvante kimutanye bhavadrisham. Please chant. Vaishnavas? I'll first read the text 34, then we'll read the translation of text 35. So 34 is Yasmin Mahad Guna Rajan Grihante Kavibir Muhu Nate Duna Pidiyante Yata Bhagavatishvare. Translation. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas. As all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also exist forever in his devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Purport. From authoritative scriptures, it is learned that Prahlad Maharaj still lives in Vaikuntha Loka as well as within this material world on the planet Sutala. This transcendental quality of existing simultaneously in different places is another qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuta. The Lord appears in the core of everyone's heart, yet he exists on his own planet Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee acquires qualities almost the same as those of the Lord because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. And now text 35. In any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthira, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you, would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of great devotee. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nvilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashta Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishe Namaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Tarvishya Kripa Sindhu Vevachya Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. I have a question I would like you to think about. The question is, why some persons become devotees and others not? You can say, well, some people have faith, other people, they don't have faith. Simpler reason. But then I will paraphrase the question, why some people have faith and others don't? So before attempting to answer this question, I'll ask another question. And hopefully by answering that other question, we can come to the answer to the first question. So in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, in this series of verses, we hear about the exalted qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, Mahabhagavat, devotee of the Lord. So the question is, how did Prahlad Maharaj became Mahabhagavat, Paramahamsa? How did he become so exalted, self-realized person? The very same question Prahlad Maharaj asked also. He asked Lord Narsimhadev. And that conversation is found in Brihant Narsimha Purana. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's speaking to Lord Narsimhadev, my dear Lord, please tell me, what is the cause of this intense devotion to you that I developed in my life? What is the cause of this? How did it happen? He's questioning Lord Narsimhadev, because Lord is all-knowing, so he knows the history. He knows what happened and what caused the devotion. And then Lord Narsimhadev starts answering, my dear son, my dear Prahlad, please listen when I narrate to you this ancient story of your previous birth. And then Lord Narsimhadev goes on and he says, there was one Brahman who lived in the city of Avantipur, present-day Ujjain, its ancient city. This Brahman's name was Vasudev. He was very learned in all scriptures. He studied the Vedas. Every day he performed 5 types of sacrifices. So he was a Pakka Brahman, really Brahman, not the Brahman in the name only. He had a very chaste wife who was very devoted to her husband. And together they had 5 children. Prahlad Maharaj was born as the youngest of these children. And his name in that life was Vasudev. So first 4 sons, the 4 older sons, they were good sons. They studied the Vedas, they followed the training their father gave them. So they were also Brahmanas. But unfortunately, this youngest son, Vasudev, he was the black sheep. Somehow, he never studied any Vedas. He was not interested in the school. And in his early youth, he became attached to a prostitute. So most of his days, he spent in a prostitute's house, enjoying sense gratification with her. And it's not that he didn't perform any pious activities. He performed many sinful activities as a result of his attachment to a prostitute. He became addicted to wine, drinking, and all other sinful activities that go together with it. But one day, something happened. This young boy, this Vasudev, he quarreled very heavily with the prostitute. They had a big fight. And as the result of this fight, his mind was so disturbed. Usually these fights between the lovers in argument, they're so emotionally disturbing that people cannot function normally anymore. So he couldn't eat because of the emotional disturbance. And not only him, prostitute also, she couldn't eat. They both lost all hunger. So all day they spent without eating. And not only eating, because of the emotional disturbance, they couldn't sleep. So the whole night they spent awake. And then what happened after that? Well, then Lord Nrisimha continues the story. It happened that this day, when they happened to fast and stay awake, was the holy day of my appearance. It was 14th day in the month of Vaishakha, Chaturdashi. It was Nrisimha Chaturdashi. So unknowingly, both of them, they observed Narasimha Chaturdashi Vrata. And then Lord Narasimhadev tells to Prahlad Maharaj, as a result of following this Vrata of mine, you became so exalted devotee. And don't think this is exaggeration. What I'm telling you is the truth. So in this way, now we heard what was the history of Prahlad's becoming so exalted devotee. Of course, we know that when he was born, his next life, when he was in the womb of his mother, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu, demigods came, they arrested her, because Hiranyakashipu, he was away, he was performing tapasya. So demigods, they talk, oh, this is the opportunity to arrest his wife and to kill the child that will be born, because the child in the womb is probably going to be a great demon. But then Narada Muni appeared and he forbade them to do that, telling them that the child in the womb is a great devotee. So he took the mother of Prahlad to his ashram, and there he instructed her in the spiritual science. And Prahlad was listening all these instructions that were given to his mother. And as the result of this sadhu sangha, listening from Narada Muni, he developed strong and firm faith. And then he performed devotional service with a firm conviction and determination and became Mahabharat. So now I'm coming back to my original question. Why some persons become devotees and others not? Or why some persons have faith and others do not? Well, the answer is found in one shloka that is Mahabharata. We all know this shloka, we chanted before honoring prasadam. Mahaprasade govinde nama brahmani vaishnave svalpa punya vadha rajam vishvat sudayava jayate. Usually we don't think about the meaning, but there is a meaning also behind. It's not just about prasadam. So the shloka says, persons with meager sukriti, with alpa punya, with very little sukriti or very little pious credit from the previous life, they cannot develop faith in what? In Mahaprasadam, in deity form of the Lord, in Govinda, in the transcendental holy name, in Nama, and they don't have faith in Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And then again in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yesha Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvanda Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Drira Vrataha. So those jhanas, those people who executed punya karma in this and previous life, who acted piously, and whose sins, whose papas are completely eradicated, they are not under influence of dualities, of illusion, Dvanda Moha Nirmukta. And they do what? Bhajante Mam Tridavrataha. They worship me with a firm determination, firm faith and devotion. So that means in order for somebody to have a faith, he has to have some pious credit, either from previous life or from this life. But he, on his bank account, so to say, has to have some sukriti, some punya, some credit of pious activities. Then you can say, well, we observe many rich people who have a lot of money and other opulences. They also must have a lot of punya, a lot of pious credit. Otherwise, how could they become rich? But still, they don't have any faith and most of them they don't become devotees. Is this a contradiction? How is that? Well, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur answers in Jaiva Dharma, he categorizes all pious activities into three categories. First category is called Bhogon, Mukhi, Sukriti. So this is the piety that is the result of activities from previous life, and this piety creates material opulence and facilities for sense enjoyment. So what are these activities? What Bhogon Mukhi, how is Bhogon Mukhi Sukriti created? Well, the best example is this material welfare work. Feeding poor, opening hospitals, demigod worship, all sort of material welfare work will create Sukriti, which will give one opportunity for greater sense enjoyment in the next life. So this is first type of Sukriti. Second type of Sukriti is called Mokshon Mukhi Sukriti. This is Sukriti that enables one to have inclination to follow the path of Jnana Yoga and to aspire to merge into impersonal Brahman. So these are different austerities and vratas who create this Sukriti. But obviously, both Bhogon Mukhi Sukriti and Mokshon Mukhi Sukriti, they do not create faith in the process of devotional service. So they don't make one a devotee. So from the point of the soul, they're completely useless. They just last for one lifetime, and after the past results is exhausted, that's the end of these types of Sukriti. But then, there's a third type of Sukriti, which is completely different. It's called Bhakti-Yunmukhi Sukriti. This is the Sukriti. These are pious activities that awaken one's dormant Krishna consciousness. These are the pious activities that create faith in the process of devotional service and make one follow the path of bhakti. So what are these activities? Well, one activity we just heard in the history of Prahlad Maharaj. He observed Lord's appearance day, Nisimha Chaturdashi. And as the result of this pious activity, faith and determination was created in him. What are the other activities? Is it only observance of the appearance day of the Lord? As this is one limb of bhakti. So there are other limbs of bhakti. They also create this Bhogon Mukhi, not Bhogon Mukhi, but Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. For example, following Ekadashi as a limb of bhakti also creates Sukriti that is favorable to bhakti. As illustration, I remember last year my sister, she was expecting a baby, and she's not devotee. So I was thinking, it's going to be hard life for that baby growing up in non-devotee family. So I was inclined, how can I help this baby before it's born, not to be in such a difficult situation? So then I had an idea, and I decided, okay, I'll dedicate one of my Ekadashi Vratas to this baby. So I fasted completely nirjal that one Ekadashi, stayed away all night and chanted all day and night basically. And then the next day I just offered in front of the deities that Sukriti to that still unborn baby, my cousin. And I prayed that that baby can one day become perhaps devotee. And then after a couple of months, baby was born, and to my great surprise, I learned that it was born on Gaur Purnim. But not only that, I became even more surprised to learn that it was not born only on Gaur Purnim, it was born exactly during the moonrise. And then when I checked the chart, And I saw so many auspicious yogas and several exalted planets, I was convinced that actually the Sukriti was transferred to a baby. That she actually got the Sukriti, otherwise it's impossible to be born at such a auspicious time. So these things work. So it's not only holy titties. There are so many other activities one can do to increase his own or somebody else's Sukriti, Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. So unintentional hearing of the holy name, for example, creates this Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, which will in the future create faith in the souls. So when Harinam goes on a street, people who never heard the holy name, they hear the holy name, and by this they're greatly benefited. And sooner or later, that Sukriti is going to fructify, and they'll be inclined to accept the devotional service. So Lord is so merciful that He devises so many ways to benefit the conditioned souls. So He appears as His holy names in different languages, not only in Indian languages. In India, it's quite common to have Krishna's names that people give to their children. But even in other languages, these names appear. For example, there is a story from Puranas about the Muslim who was answering the call of nature, and then in the forest he was killed by a boar. At the moment of death, he exclaimed, "Haram," which in Persian means abominable, horrible. And it's explained because he chanted the name of Ram. At the moment of death, he attained liberation. So I remember when I was a boy, I was fond of two my childhood friends that I used to play with. And I would often call them by names. And only later I realized what a fortune it was, because name of one was Goran and name of other was Rade. So I was calling them Gora, Gora, Rade, Rade. So in this way, some Sukriti was created. Yesterday in Pankajani Prabhu's class, somebody asked about the Gordon Parikrama. People, they come with different motives and perform this Gordon Parikrama. Is it good or not good? And of course, Prabhu answered, it's great. We should encourage them. Millions of people from all over the India, they come and do Gordon Parikrama in order to get their daughters and sons married, to go to America, for so many different reasons. But still, they worship Krishna in the form of Govardhan. And in this way, they create great, great Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti. So sooner or later, in this life or in the next, they will accept the path of Bhakti. So this is one of the ways. And then, of course, tasting prasadam. This is also what creates Sukriti. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur in Madhura Kadambini, he, in the first shower of nectar, he emphatically states that bhakti is completely independent. It's created only by bhakti. Jnana and karma, they cannot create bhakti. Only bhakti create bhakti. So activities of bhakti, even when done unintentionally, they will produce bhakti in the future. And this is not exaggeration. As Nrisimhadev told to Prahlad Maharaj, "My dear boy, don't believe that this story I told is exaggeration. No, this is how you became a great devotee." So how this Sukriti becomes available to conditioned souls? When you go out and hear Harinam, there must be somebody singing there in order that you can hear Harinam. When you get some prasadam, there must be somebody who made this prasadam. So obviously, devotees of the Lord are those who give opportunity to conditioned souls to accrue this Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti. So in general, the mercy of the Lord comes from devotees. They feel compassion in their own hearts, and thus they incline to help others, to bestow the mercy upon them by giving them holy name, by giving them prasadam, association, Krishna Katha, so many things. So this compassion in the heart of devotee, it's actually a manifestation of bhakti. So again, bhakti created that compassion, and then because of that compassion, others are benefited. So again, bhakti comes from bhakti. So devotees of the Lord are those who create the good fortune for conditioned souls. Just a couple days ago, I read one story, very wonderful story written by His Holiness Radhakrishna Maharaj. It was published on Dandavat some years ago, but again, it was republished just a few days ago. It's called A Tale of Dorothy. Just in short, I will go into details. Maharaj was waiting at some airport, and there was a flight delay. And when flight delay was announced, one middle-aged lady, she protested very angrily. She yelled at the flight attendant. She was very, very disturbed. But nobody could help her because the air conditioner of the plane broke. So then she saw Radha Maharaj sitting in the back of the lounge. So she came in front of him and she yelled, "Are you a monk?" Maharaj was feeling very timid, but then he answered, "Yes, something like that." "So then tell me, why is Krishna doing this to me? Tell me," she demanded, "answer, why is Krishna doing this to me? Why this flight delay?" Somehow Maharaj, he managed to tell her to sit, and they started to talk. And then in the course of conversation, he discovered that this lady, she had been through a disaster. Her husband and children, three children, died in some accident. And top of that, she got a terminal cancer. But somehow she found some cancer clinic in Mexico. And she was going to try the treatment there. But she had to be admitted on that day. So she had to catch the connection flight in order to be admitted to that clinic in Mexico in order to save her life. But now the flight was delayed. First for 1 hour, then for 2 hours, for 3 hours. At first she was so, so disturbed. But then because Maharaj was preaching to her, she started to realize that actually it was her good fortune. Maharaj wrote a Maha Mantra on the paper for her. So she was reading that Maha Mantra and chanting. And at the end, she said, "Now it doesn't matter whether I live or die. It doesn't matter. I realize that this was my greatest fortune to meet you." All other passengers, they were completely miserable because of such a long delay. But she was in complete bliss because she understood it was her great fortune to meet a devotee, to hear the holy name of Krishna. So this is the turning point in the evolution of the conditioned soul, meeting a devotee of the Lord. Because that devotee gives opportunity for earning Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti, for performing devotional service unknowingly. And then faith is gradually created from that. So these pure devotees are categorized in two categories. They're categorized as sadhakas and siddhas. So obviously sadhakas, they can greatly benefit the conditioned souls by giving them the holy name, prasadam, speaking about Krishna, preaching. So they are great well-wishers and benefactors of everybody. But then we have siddhas or Mahabhagavata devotees as the Lord, as Prahlad Maharaj. There is some difference. Both of these categories, they're well-wishers and they help conditioned souls. But the Mahabhagavata, just by seeing him, one is benefited. Even if he doesn't do anything, just coming in slight contact with Mahabhagavata, soul is eternally benefited. And the good fortune of that soul starts from that moment when she sees the Mahabhagavat. Just in a few shlokas after the shloka we read, it is said, by seeing his bodily features, it's explained about Prahlad Maharaj, by seeing his bodily features when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. Just by seeing a Mahabhagavat, one is greatly benefited and purified. So Srila Prabhupada, he came to the West and he gave opportunity to thousands of people just to see him and to get benefit just by having his own darshan. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one purport of Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says about Mahabhagavatas, Mahabhagavata Vaishnavas are the eternal dear associates of Gaura Krishna. If a jiva has not accumulated an unlimited amount of bhakti unmukhi sukriti, the darshan and shelter of such Vaishnavas does not come within the scope of his fortune. So one has to have also great sukriti just to meet such Vaishnavas. But still, even if they don't have, Mahabhagavata is so merciful that they will make themselves available for the conditioned souls. I remember some disciples asked Prabhupada, how is that we get this good fortune to be your disciples, to see you and speak to you? What kind of pious activities? Who created this sukriti that we could see you? Then Prabhupada said, I created your sukriti. So we might not have any sukriti, but just by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, that sukriti was created. So many of those who met Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada disciples, they experienced that meeting, first meeting and other meetings, there was something special, that they were transformed just by coming in personal contact with him. I myself, I never had the opportunity to meet Prabhupada in person. I was too late. But still, he was the first devotee I ever saw on a TV. I was still in high school. I knew nothing about devotees, about Krishna. And one day, I just was passing by the TV. I switched the TV on, and there was a Prabhupada singing Krishna Kirtana from one of the early footages from Tompkins Square Park. And I was completely stunned. It was such an impression it made on me that I just couldn't speak, just looking at him. And I felt some great awe and reverence and respect coming from within. I felt like some physical force was pushing me down to offer dandavats, to offer prostrate obeisances. But I never before offered prostrate obeisances. I didn't know what it was. And because my parents were in the next room, so I was thinking, they'll think I'm a mad offering obeisance to the TV, so I didn't do it. But otherwise, I felt a strong urge just by seeing Srila Prabhupada. If that is possible, even through a TV, what to speak then about meeting such person in real life? So there are many Mahabhagavatas. Prahlad Maharaj is one. So this same Prahlad Maharaj, he appeared in Gaura Lila as Srila Haridas Thakur. And this Haridas Thakur, he had the same ability as Prahlad Maharaj to become completely fixed in Smaranam at Krishna's lotus feet. He was completely absorbed in remembering Krishna. So even when the Muslims, they tortured him at 21 marketplace, beating him heavily, still, because he was absorbed, he didn't feel any pain. And then they complained to him, oh, we are in trouble. Kazi is going to punish us because you're not dying. He said, okay, I'll die. So he became immersed in Samadhi. And they thought he's dead, so they threw him in the Ganga. But then again, he came out of the Ganga. And then they saw him after that. They completely changed. His tormentors, their hearts changed. They became completely transformed and recognized this indeed was the saintly person. And with the king, the Nawab, when he saw him still alive after all this torture, he also became completely transformed and offered him his humble obeisances, recognized him as a real sadhu and God's man. So this is the potency of Mahabhagavatas. I just want to read one paragraph from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur glorifying Haridas Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Oh, how wonderful are the uncommon glories of the Mahabhagavat, Paramahamsa Vaishnava Thakuras. By seeing the extraordinary shining example of Thakur Haridas, forgiveness and tolerance The same king who was previously envious of the Thakur, who had angrily arrested him in order to severely punish him, who hated Lord Vishnu and Vaishnavas, and who was most sinful, now accepts Thakur Haridas as a worshipable, uncommon, great personality sent by God. Not only that, being purified by the fire of repentance, the most sinful, atheistic, offensive king begged forgiveness for all his offenses and was obliged to offer obeisances at Thakur's lotus feet. Our time is up. I just want to quickly summarize. How does one become a Vaishnava? By performing Bhakti Unmukhi Sukti, by performing activities that are favorable to Bhakti, like hearing holy name, chanting, hearing Krishna Katha, tasting prasadam, or meeting a devotee of the Lord. In this way, the faith is created, and gradually one becomes eligible to perform the devotional service. So we should all have firm faith in the potency of all the limbs of the bhakti, especially chanting the holy name. In this way, we will be greatly benefited, and also we will be inclined to bestow this mercy to others, to try to help to others, and to give them the holy name and other opportunities to become devotees. I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. Can you have a mic, please?
How come there was a Prabhupada on television? I didn't understand.
It was some documentary that devotees made, and the introductory part of the documentary, they put these footages of Prabhupada. Actually, there was one devotee was working on TV, so somehow he managed to broadcast the documentary. It was more than 20 years ago. Anything else? Yes, Madhaji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You were telling the story of how Prahlad in his previous life got his Sukriti by doing the fast on Narasimha Chaturdasi. But also he had other Sukriti because he was already born in a family of Brahmanas and his name was even Vasudev. So he already had some Sukriti.
Yeah, obviously he had some Sukriti. So he obviously didn't start from a zero. Actually, we usually consider Prahlad Maharaj as Nitya Siddha, eternal associate of the Lord. But Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur, he explains that he's mixed Siddha. Mixed means that he's a combination of Sadhaka Siddha, or Sadhana Siddha, and Nitya Siddha. And Srila Prabhupada, he comments, I'll just, one moment, I'll read it for you. I have it here somewhere. So Prabhupada comments this same canto, 7th chapter. Prahlad Maharaj is a mixed Siddha. That is, he's a perfect partly because of executing devotional service and partly because of eternal perfection. Thus, he is compared to such devotees as Narada. Formerly, Narada Muni was the son of maidservant, and therefore in his next birth he attained perfection, sadhana siddhi, because of having executed devotional service. Yet he is also nitya siddha, because he never forgets the supreme personality of Godhead. As I understand it, Prahlad Maharaj, he's a nitya siddha, but for the sake of the pastimes, he goes through all this sadhana siddha pastime in order to attain perfection. But that in no way decreases the potency of the path of sadhana bhakti, because somebody would assume, well, it was possible because he was a nitya siddha, that's why he attained perfection so easily. But it's not because of that, it's because of the potency of the bhakti to bestow this perfection. That's why Lord Nisimha says, Lord Nisimhadev says, don't think it's an exaggeration that by observing my vrata, one can attain such a high level of devotion. So he's a sadhana siddha and nitya siddha mixed. So he had something before even. But it has to start somewhere. In general case, the Sukriti has to start somewhere. Just imagine somebody never, he was born in a North Pole, he never saw a devotee, he never met a devotee. And then in a previous life also, he was born who knows where, and he never had any contact with bhakti. So it has to start at some point, whether in this life, or 10 lives before, or 100 lives before, it has to start somewhere. And it starts when devotee bestows his mercy unto that conditioned soul. Is that okay? Yes, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, I don't know if I understand right, or so then sadhana siddha devotee can becomes a nitya siddha?
No, nitya siddha is nitya siddha, but once one attains perfection, there is no difference whether he's a nitya, he's on the same level. He's on the same level. So Prahlada Maharaj is eternally perfect. Narada Muni, they're eternally perfect. But for the sake of the pastimes, they go through this path of sadhana bhakti to show that path of sadhana bhakti is enough powerful, potent to bring one to perfection. So even if one is not nitya siddha, by following the example they showed, Prahlada Maharaj and Narada Muni, they will achieve the same result and become perfect. They'll become siddhas. So whether sadhana or nitya doesn't really matter at the end. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. You mentioned that because you observed the fasting on the Chaturdasi, but we say Narasimha Chaturdasi because Lord Narasimha appeared on Chaturdasi, so that's why we celebrate Narasimha Chaturdasi. So you mean to say that Chaturdasi has always been the birth appearance of Lord Narasimha Dev?
Yes, Chaturdasi, it's eternal vrata. Lord Narasimha Dev, he appears in every kalpa. So even before that happened, he already appeared. So it exists internally. It's a little difficult for conditioned mind to understand. At that time, who was a Prahlada Maharaj when before this happened? But again, at that time, there was a Prahlada Maharaj, same person. Or even if it was a different person, Lord Narasimhadev appears eternally, not only in this universe, but in all other universes, and he appears in every day of Brahma. So Chaturdashi is eternal vrata, because the Lord form is eternal. So he appears from time immemorial. Even before this particular story happened, he appeared before.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.